Welcome to Parenting Matters. This is Parenting Matters, where we talk about parenting matters. Why? Because parenting matters. Welcome back. Thanks so much for joining us. We are excited to have you here on Parenting Matters, where we talk about parenting matters because parenting matters. Right, Tanya?
That's right. It's important. It matters. And today, so we talk about it.
That's right. And today we are going to talk about something that matters that is near and dear to my heart, but
something
also...
Something that's going to matter to you.
Yeah, I think something that most parents...
If you have more than one child.
Yeah, and some, well, it'd be sad if one kid dealt with it. This is where, like, yeah, if you're the parent of an only child...
Maybe they have cousins.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if your school kid, friends.
That's true. I guess this could apply for school. It's a little different when it's a school kid because you have no control over that kid.
True.
You can be that mom that calls that parent and complains about that other kid, but...
No one wants to be that
I don't
mom.
Want to be that person. Yeah. You know, so we're going to talk about kids fighting. We're going to talk about strategies that you can use to help your kids win their fighting because it happens.
Yes. You if you're a parent, you know it happens.
It's not, yeah, there's
you
no.
You have heard it more times than you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And even if it's not knockdown dragouts.
Right.
Which sometimes happen in my house.
Yeah.
Not my kids, me. Specifically,
you're having a knockdown drag out with your children?
No. Me with my sisters.
Oh, you growing up
as a kid.
Okay,
yeah.
Yes.
So, see, there have been a lot more fights. In my, like, I had one sister, I have three sisters, but one of my sisters in particular, one of the closest to me in age, we are complete and total opposites.
Okay.
Right? Night and day doesn't really even separate us far enough.
That's funny.
We're very different. And because of that, it led to some conflicts. And when I was younger, that usually would mean fighting.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I always seemed to get in trouble because of that.
Because you were the boy. Yeah.
I wasn't the... Yeah. I'm the oldest.
Oh, you're the oldest.
But I was not the biggest.
And the boy.
But I'm not the biggest. My sister was way bigger than me. But my dad didn't see it that way. So...
My sisters and I, we fought a lot, especially my oldest sister and I. But it's funny because we're actually pretty similar. We were both just really like strong-willed and kind of stubborn. And the middle sister was not strong-willed, so she did whatever we wanted. So she didn't fight a lot. But the oldest sister and I, we would fight a lot.
Like physical fighting or mostly verbal, emotional
mostly
abuse?
Verbal yelling, but she would annoy... So two things. She would annoy me so much until I like hit her and she thought it was funny. Mm. So she would laugh and then I would hit her more because it was not funny. But one time I remember we were playing Nintendo and it was my turn. You know, like back then you had Mario's turn then Luigi's turn, right? You had to wait.
Right.
So I was playing and I was doing pretty good and she had died. And so it was my turn. So I'm playing and she's like, die, 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 die. So finally, I died, and I just turned around and slapped her, and I have never really slapped anyone before. It kind of came out of nowhere. We laugh now. She was shocked.
She was shocked
she
and
was
probably
like,
angry.
Whoa, where did that... I think she was just shocked, and she knew she deserved it, or at least had encouraged it. Maybe.
That was never...
She did not deserve it, but...
So my sister and I, we fought mostly as kids, like up until... I mean, definitely not past third or fourth grade.
Yeah.
But before then, there were battles.
Yeah.
And again, she was the same size as me. She was like 19 months younger than me. So girls, she grew way faster than I did. And so she was definitely bigger than me.
Yeah.
And man, I wasn't good with words. She was way better with words. And so I would usually hit her or, and then it would, she'd try to fight back. And I was always stronger than her, but not bigger.
Yeah.
Which was always my defense. Like, you should get stronger. But then she got way better with words when I couldn't get to the point.
Right.
Like when we got older and I knew I couldn't hit her because that'd be just horrible. I only had a couple of the comebacks and that would shut her down.
Yeah. Oh,
and,
all right.
But not in a good way.
Oh.
Like they were just...
Like they weren't nice.
I wasn't critical. Yeah, I wasn't I wasn't creative and she was very good with like lacing together insults and things like that and yelling. And I just would say one or two things and she'd just stop and get so mad and start crying and... And then I get in a lot of trouble and I'm like, hey, but like that was, and for my parents, when we fought physically, it was, I got in trouble. I got spanked. I got sent to my room.
Mm-hmm.
She got a little bit in trouble. When there was a lot of yelling, I think it was really just the only time we ever got in trouble or we never got corrected. We just got yelled at to stop.
Yeah.
And that's as far as it ever went.
Us too. Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, that was the model that they had, which was probably even less of a confrontation. It was probably just go outside.
Yeah.
You know, and hey, beat up each other outside.
Yeah. Yeah. Just take it outside. Don't break something.
I feel like we've come a long way. What about you? So yours was more verbal. How did your parents react?
So kind of the same thing. They would just kind of yell to knock it off. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, stop fighting, knock it off. But I guess a lot of the times too, both my parents worked. So a lot of the fighting probably happened when the parents weren't even around, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Just because it was after school and, you know, she's trying to boss me around or whatever.
Now that also happened with us.
Yeah.
But my sister was always intent on telling.
Okay. We didn't do that.
They'd come home and I'd get in trouble and so it just kept building, right?
It is like, kind of interesting. We kind of had a bond. Like, we would fight. But even one time we fought and I broke the coffee table and my sister took up for me, even though, like, we were fighting. You know, that's
just... would have not... My sister would have... She'd have put that right in the front door. Look what happened here.
Look what he did.
Seth threw me through this. I did not. You tripped and you fell.
So
we're going to talk about strategies. Because
yes,
I
what
think
can
we're
you do?
Better than that, right? We want to just do more than...
Yell
just
at
say,
them
stop
back.
It, right?
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, the first thing that we have to be aware of is that you got to just try to let them work it out first.
I agree.
Right?
I think sometimes adults, teachers, parents step in too much, and kids never learn how to resolve their issues on their own.
That's exactly right.
I think sometimes they do have to work it out.
And I think more now than ever before,
you
have people that are making decisions and doing things and laying down solutions for their kids. And when they get to older age, teenage years, adult years, they still don't know how to handle the conflicts that they have and they're scared of them.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Or you just, or even not even making, you make the conflict stop and you say, we don't do that. And conflict is wrong. And so you create somebody that
avoids conflict all the time, and that's not possible.
No,
and you can't do that.
You have to understand, like, people as you get older, as adults, we have to understand that conflict is inevitable, and it's as uncomfortable as it can be.
Mm-hmm.
It always makes things better when you walk into a situation you are at least upfront and honest in a loving way,
right?
To address the conflict,
right?
You can work things through. If you just let it go, then it'll bottle up, and then you get, you know, what is the word? You get disenfranchised and you walk away and then things start to fester and then it's way worse, right? The next little thing, this goes along with marriage too, by the way, the next little thing can set you off in a way that the other person goes, I don't have any idea why was that bad.
Or they just walk away. Mm-hmm. Like I do this sometimes, like, all right, I'm not going to just talk to them anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
guess
we never
we're done here.
Resolved the conflict. And so then you walk away from jobs or friendships or marriages or whatever because you didn't learn how to resolve the conflict.
Yeah. So letting them work it out in a good way and encouraging, like, our role in that as parents is to encourage them to work it out.
Yes.
Truly. Now, obviously, if they're in danger of being hurt or something like that, you intervene. But for the most part, let them work it out.
Uh-huh.
And make sure that they are truly working it out, not just saying sorry and going their other way.
Right. Yeah. Don't just force them to say sorry.
But talk through what is at issue here. Right. That's the model that you need to set. Now, the truth is, in order for you to set that model, you need to make sure that you're doing that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're watching the relationships that you have with your friends or with your husband or with your wife.
And even them, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, you know, always go back and reconcile the relationship. And you model that when you do that with your children as well. Like, hey, I'm sorry, I did this.
Yeah, we set the example, which is the second thing. Once you've let them try to work it out, then you have to set the example yourself of how to healthily, is that a word?
Healthily? Yeah, I think so.
That sounds weird. It's hard to say.
Healthily.
You healthily work through your conflict.
Right.
And if you can do it in your own personal relationships, then you are going to see that your kids are going to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And this is a big thing here because, again, my parents, when we would be yelling and screaming, they would yell, knock it off.
Mm-hmm.
So all that does is escalate a lot of yelling. So if you're modeling yelling to your children, they're going to yell.
That's
so when you're working on these things, stay calm.
And that's hard.
It is hard.
Because you get emotions and you you typically, when we're emotional, we typically fall back to what we know and what we are comfortable with because we don't know what else to do.
Right.
And in the moment, we want to take back control,
right.
take back our power.
Yeah.
And so we start yelling.
Yeah.
It happens when you're frustrated. It happens when you're trying to fix things. So that's when you have to go in with a plan, knowing I'm going to go in here. I'm not going to yell. I'm going to show them
yes.
Calmly how to do this. But in the same way, when you get into conflict, you got to do the same thing.
Right.
You got to say, okay, I can see this is happening. I can see we're not getting anywhere. And even if you've gotten heated and even if you've gotten
right.
to a point where you're arguing, you step back, take a second. Yeah. My wife is actually really good at, she does not like conflict. And what she does, will do is when she gets upset, she will just leave.
Uh-huh.
Like she'll go up to the room. And when I was young and stupid, I would follow her.
Uh-huh.
Right. And say, we got to fix this. We got to fix this.
Yeah,
we gotta fix
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
And she eventually got to the point where she could articulate, I just need some time right now.
Yeah.
If you want to be able to talk through this, if you want to work through this, then give me
some time.
Some time. And that's one of the smartest things you can do right. is just in a healthy way, say, listen, you know, maybe not scream, blow up, and then disappear.
Right.
Which has right. sometimes been
it's not nice.
The way
it's not fair.
that leaves the other person going, I got to fix this because
yeah.
it looks like it's really bad. Instead, go, okay, listen, I'm really angry at this
yeah.
point. I'm
yeah.
very upset and I don't want to do anything that I'm going to regret or mm-hmm. do anything that I'm going to say. That I don't really mean. Give me some time.
Right.
You take some time. I'll take some time. We'll reflect and then we'll come back at this time. And listen, in the moment, that sounds like the craziest thing in the
right.
planet, but you have to go into it with a plan and then your plan will work out. It's like anything else that you have a plan for, right? Football players don't just show up on the field and just
yeah.
figure stuff out. They have a plan. They've practiced
you have
it.
A
they've
plan
rehearsed
ahead of time.
It.
Mm-hmm.
They know when that ball is snapped, then they are running the play because they
yeah.
know how to do it.
And
even if things go wrong, they're still ready.
So teach that to your kids too. Teach them to have that plan. Help them come up with a plan when they get in a fight with their sibling or anyone else. Yeah. Use those same guidelines and kind of direct them to know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Like what are you going to do next time you fight with your brother or your sister or whatever?
Yeah. How can we
think it through
more healthy way?
Yeah.
Resolve this conflict in a way that is good for both of us. Not necessarily that everybody gets their way,
mm-hmm.
but that is a healthy way that is honoring to everyone around
right.
each other and does something to help you.
Yeah.
So now the next thing is especially for young kids, what if the thing that's causing the anger is the source of the thing, right? So
right.
there's a
yes.
source. It's not just
yeah.
like my sister and I, it was never a source. It was just that she was very different and the things that she did always irked me and the things the way that I did that always irked her. And that's what just led to different things. But a lot of times it's things, right? Like
right.
a Nintendo or
mm-hmm.
a remote
right.
control
yeah.
or it's a toy, whatever that is. As the parent, you've got to remove that.
Right. And I think, again, especially for younger kids, you take away that thing. It really, younger kids have such a short attention span. It's just, you're just going to distract them like with something else, right? Like that's kind of the goal, at least to me,
mm-hmm.
is to like take away the thing, stop the fighting, distract them. But I think as they get older, you can also teach them like, hey, here's the consequence of what your choice is
yeah.
to fight and yell about the Nintendo now. It's
mm-hmm.
it's gone. You know?
Yeah. And it teaches them, you know, if this thing that they really love, if they're
mm-hmm.
if they love that thing and treasure that thing more than the human that is
right
they're in our
yeah.
agreement with, then we've got a problem.
Yeah.
So you take that thing away and say, listen, I've taken this thing away.
Yeah.
I can't take away your brother.
Right.
Or I can't take away your sister because they are our family. They are part of
yeah.
we love them dearly and intimate and unconditionally. This toy is going to break soon.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be gone. We're going to throw it in the trash. What of these things is more valuable?
Yeah.
And at that moment, they're probably going to be like, the truck. Like, no, let's try that again. Remember, this is a human who we love unconditionally. The toy is decaying and breaking apart, and you're not going to care about it in about 2 weeks. What do we care? And you just can keep on that cycle
yeah.
more. And they'll get the idea that,
they'll
okay,
the
person is way more important than the
thing.
And I
think deep down they know that and feel that. They're
you
just
hope so, right? In the moment, there's no way.
Yeah, they're just being snotty at the moment.
I think back to the times when I would get into an argument with my sister, and I would have given her away for a paper bag.
Really?
In a heartbeat.
Huh.
Like we just were that at odds.
Yeah.
Somebody had come around and said, hey, how about a paper bag for your sister? I'd have been like,
done.
I don't even need the paper bag.
Just
take her. There were many times where I went to my parents and said, she needs to go to military school. Or send me. One of the two of us needs to go.
Somebody
and my parents
would
just look at me like, why would you even say that? Well, because she's horrible. She's horrible. Like, yeah, but she's really not.
She's really not.
But
yeah.
She kind of is. Yeah, that was a...
That is so funny.
So the next thing is something you have to be careful with, right? The next thing is it can become the problem if it's not used moderately and appropriately. Mm-hmm. And that's dangling a carrot, using a reward-based system for appropriate behavior. It helps to decrease the poor behavior, but only if you couple that with education.
Yeah.
You say, you don't just say, hey, if you guys just don't fight this time, we'll do this.
Then they know. Then you kind of teach them.
That's right. They only get a reward if they're good. That's not
Or they are only good to get a reward, which you don't want either.
That's
you want them to be good because
they genuinely understand and appreciate the person.
Right.
And they understand why it's important to have good behavior, not just because ice cream might be involved.
Right.
At first, and again, especially for little kids who don't understand that kind of reasoning,
it's part of the teaching.
That can certainly be it's a good reinforcement where they know, okay, if I act in a certain way, I get a good positive reward. Whereas if I act this way, which feels like the way that I should act, then for some reason that gets taken away.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the value of it
and
comes.
I read an article, or it was part of a conference or something one time, but it talked about how praising, which again, you could use reward in the same way, but like a one-year-old who is learning to walk for the first time, every teeny little step in tottering, you're like praising, like, yay, good job. A five-year-old, you do not praise them every time they walk. So you can kind of like you said, start with the rewards and especially if they're learning a new skill like conflict resolution, and then just kind of slowly wean those out as they should be able to do it without a reward. So you can introduce those, but you don't have to use them all the time.
So the other thing that, and this partially played into why I was such a hard time with my sister. All of your kids are equals. Mm-hmm. Right? We're currently going through a series on Sunday mornings where we're looking at Joseph, the life of Joseph. And if you know your Bible, if you know your Old Testament, then you know that in Joseph's family, Jacob's sons, of which he had many,
12.
Joseph was pronounced and it was all known, it was stated that he was the favorite.
Which is interesting because he wasn't even the youngest. He wasn't even the youngest of his favorite wife.
He was either the firstborn or he was the youngest. It's ridiculous. But for some reason, he was the favorite.
Uh-huh.
And there's always going to be problems when you have favorites. And listen, parents, you know, I know, we all know, you shouldn't have favorites. Okay? Everybody know that? Everybody with me? But sometimes you do get to one that just jives with you a little bit more than the others. And you have to make sure as the parent that they know that that's not the case. You love each of your kids exactly the same.
Yes.
You look at them as human beings that are created in God's image, but also in your image. And regardless of other personalities differ with yours, they're all the same.
Right.
And unless you want a serious headache on your hands and a lifetime problem, because your kids are going to pick on it really
quickly.
They do.
They know. They can tell.
You need to understand that that's a terrible thing, and you need to look at it and see what you might be doing that is causing your kids to think that.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say things. They'll say like, "Well, she's the favorite. She always gets the things that you
want."
And I would say that often, that she never gets in trouble. You guys, you just like her more, and you always get in trouble. She never gets in trouble. My parents would go, "That's not true. Now go to your room." I'm like, "Well, hey,
it is true.
It sure seems like it." like right now, okay. Zoe is not our favorite. We love all of our children. But I talk a lot more about Zoe. Zoe, because she's five, gets a lot more attention than the teenagers.
Yeah.
And that does, we have to be careful about that.
Right.
Because it's not that she's a favorite, but she does get way more attention.
And
if you do have any span of care, of age between your kids, then you know that there just is a demand for your attention more on the younger children than the older children.
And they're more excited about your attention than a teenager.
Absolutely.
I mean, the teenager wants your attention and they crave it, but they're not showing you.
When I come home, there's one child that comes running to the door now. One. Okay. And I have five.
Yeah.
One kid comes to the door and it's Zoe.
Right.
Because she's just excited. She says, she asks me things and she wants to show me things.
Right.
And I'm lucky if the teenagers come down for dinner.
Yeah.
Okay. I pretty much beat into them though. When I get home, I want you to come out of your room and at least say hi. See how things are going, because that's how humans treat each other. Because we got to a point where I would come home and the only person that would come for hours was the little one. And so I finally was like, hey, listen, when I come home, this is what I want. And it's not just me. This is the way we should treat people.
Right.
Because we're interested that they are with us.
Yeah.
Okay?
Teenagers got to love them.
They've been fairly good about that. Sometimes my son gets in a rut and he just doesn't even notice.
He just forgets.
And so he stays up there until you walk in and be like, hey, good to see you too. And he's like, oh, sorry. But you have to have patience with them. But it, you know, it does get to be difficult when you have younger children that are demanding your attention. The older ones don't anymore.
That age split is hard. It's hard to navigate.
That's right. Yeah. And you have to make sure that you are mindful of that. And even though you're going to spend a lot more time with someone who you have to change diapers for, feed, create, dress, bathe, all those things that you have to do for these kids, the other ones know that you love them the exact same way, and you did all the same things for
them. Did all that for them.
Nothing has changed in the way that you care for them. It's just the demand and the times, and you're so proud of them that they don't have to.
I was going to say, and you're teaching them. We talk about raising good adults. It's like you're on your way to be an adult. You don't need me to do all these things. I have succeeded. You can feed yourself.
Check the box and move on. We're at a different stage in the relationship now. Absolutely. So the next two really are, we've already kind of covered, and it's really just watch your temper, and when the dust settles, make sure that everything is okay.
Yeah.
Right? So the first thing is, we've already talked about it, be in control. The only way to be in control is to have a plan. The second one is, when the dust settles, if you have gotten, when there has been a fight, you come back, once the tempers and emotions and all those things have ebbed, then you bring everybody together and you say, okay, now this is the part where we learn. Mm-hmm. This is the part where we get better so that the next time this doesn't happen. Not that it might not, but to understand that we're working towards something.
And to teach them to reconcile. Again, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, that relationship reconciliation is so important. You want to teach them that every time they argue or fight or whatever. Fine, have your argument, but be reconciled and go on your way.
And that helps in all the relationships in their life moving forward.
For sure.
Okay, now, one thing that I'm fairly well-voiced at, and my kids will definitely tell you, is let's use some humor.
Oh, okay.
Let's make things funny.
Lightning.
Because people remember those things. It also takes away some of the tension. If you can get a kid to smile that's frowning, it's always better.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's really hard to start frowning again after you've smiled. That is my go-to in kids ministry when kids are angry or when kids are upset or sad that their parents are there. If you can make them laugh, you can make them smile, you got them.
Yeah.
And they're going to be okay. In a fighting situation, after the dust is settled, you look back and you go, hey, let's talk about how silly you are. Let's talk about how you guys looked when you were rolling around the stairs. Hey, remember that thing that happened? Can you believe? All of those things will make them start laughing. And the truth is, kids are full of joy just naturally.
Yes.
And they want to laugh too. So it may take a few minutes. It may not be instant. But at the appropriate time, you can use humor to either tell how, you know, when you're in that moment of explaining why we do these certain things, you can use a story of your own, or you can use the story of what just happened.
And
either way, if it's something that brings a funny thought to their mind, that always eases the circumstance and it helps them to see that this is okay.
Mm-hmm. It just lightens the atmosphere, lightens the mood a little bit.
Right.
I'm going to just add on to that too.
Please do.
The child's brain is developing. So frustration is all this like emotion. They don't have that, what's it called? Frontal.
Amygdala?
No, the thing in the front. Anyway, it develops when you're like 25 or something. Anyway, so they don't know how to.
Obviously still not developed. I don't know. I'm way past 25. Keep going.
They're learning how to deal. So when you're angry, right, it's this like intense emotion and they don't know how to deal with it. So it's there. And they don't necessarily want it to be there anymore, like the moment might have passed. So I think humor comes in and kind of brings that intense emotion down. So then they're able to kind of re-regulate themselves and act normally and things like that. So there's a lot of emotions that...
Prefrontal cortex.
There it is.
Way to go, Google.
Prefrontal something. So... In the same way, like sometimes kids are fighting just because they're frustrated and they don't know what they're frustrated about. And so they're just like taking it out on everybody. You know, like a 2-year-old who's biting everybody is usually because they can't communicate yet. You know, they don't have the words. So that's frustrating. So I think especially like younger kids are fighting because they're frustrated about something, but they don't know what it is. And so then they're just yelling at everybody. So part of it is helping them kind of realize like, why are you so frustrated? Something happened at school today that, you know, did you get embarrassed? Did the teacher, you know, call you out? You know, just trying to help them figure out, because maybe they're not even as angry about the situation with their sibling. You know, they're just kind of acting out on different frustrations. So help them kind of discover the root of what they're so upset about.
Well, a lot of times it has to do with attention or perceived wrong.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a lot of those things that are feeling built in that they don't know how to explain on an adult level.
Yeah.
And so they act out on those things. Trust me, that would certainly be my frustration, was that I could not think of ways to come back at her in regards to the argument.
Yeah.
And so my reaction was just to fight or to hit or to mine do too. Something like that, because
me too.
And the truth is, it's the same way now, right?
When you, no, I don't hit anybody. My wife anymore. Don't know.
Well, you did just get married, so you never know. He might tick you off enough to smoke from every once in a while.
Just every once in a while.
There have been a couple times when Randy has hit me, and I'm like, hey. And she's like, oh, he's just frustrated me. I'm like, yeah, but that's not okay. Oh, you're not hurt.
Hopefully the children
that's
didn't
not
see that.
The point.
You don't want him to witness that.
No. It's always pretty funny at the end of it, though. But, you know, like you were saying, there's got to be ways that we model. There's got to be ways that we show and tell all of the ways of how to better illustrate those things that we can't verbalize.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And that's what you would teach a kid.
Yep.
And you get them to try it again, and you say, hey, let's do a do-over. Let's walk through that one more time. Those are very, very helpful things to do. When you're frustrated, when you see a kid that's frustrating, and instead of biting, we can go, okay, let's try that again.
Yeah. And I think that's another thing to remember through all this is you are training your children in conflict resolution. So they might not get it the first time you tell them how to better act next time. It might take a couple years.
Hey, listen.
Sometime, but let them practice.
That is a good tip for parents. That's also a good tip for wives out there. Most of your husbands are not going to get it the first time. We're really sorry. We wish we could, but we're morons. And it takes us 4 or 5 or 10 years.
It's really good to know.
To learn your signals. My wife this morning, something happened. And our typical routine is I get home from workout. The big kids leave within 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I make Randy breakfast.
Oh, nice.
And then I go upstairs and I wake up Leticia.
Okay.
Right? That's been the model. And then I go take a shower, start getting ready for the day. Randy gets Zoe dressed, and because Zoe's already awake. She wakes up super early. And so she gets Zoe dressed. Leticia gets ready. Randy leaves for work. I come downstairs. We get up. We go. That's our routine. It's always been our routine. Well,
that's a lot in the morning.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people.
There are a lot of people.
So it's a lot of handoff, a lot of tag team. We work out pretty well. Well, so this morning, Zoe came downstairs, and Randy did this thing where she said, I made Randy breakfast, and I'm like, hey, give her a kiss, and said, oh, I'm going to wake up Leticia. And right before that, she had said, and looking back on this, I realize this now,
because
I'm not as much
because you're learning,
moron.
Yeah. Yes.
She said, Zoe, what do you want for breakfast? That is my cue to get whatever Zoe wants for breakfast. But instead, I marched right past that. Because I was focused on doing the thing that I always do.
Right, you're in your routine.
And so when I kissed her and I said, I'm going to go wake up Leticia, she went, well, I guess you're not going to get anything for Zoe. And I went, and I almost said, you didn't ask me to get anything for Zoe. You asked Zoe what she wanted for breakfast, but I didn't. I said,
good for you.
I saw, I missed that cue. And one, that's not fair. But two, that's what they do. It's what women do. You do it. It's not.
Listen, I see it. It's not fair.
You're the
fair.
Queen of
acting. I know.
I know Jesse's called you a couple times on that. It's you know what you're saying, but you don't want to explicitly say, hey, Seth, why don't you get Zoe breakfast too before you go upstairs?
Yes.
As a guy who's pretty straightforward, we don't understand why you don't just say that.
Yeah.
But for some reason, you don't. So we have to figure out. But the thing is, your kids are getting those same type of cues all the time. Your wife's and your kids are giving you very similar cues that you have to pick up on.
It's hard to be a dad.
It's hard to just be a human, okay? Well, the hardest part listen, we're just morons, right? We'll say the thing that we mean, and then somebody's crying anyway. And you're like, oh, man, just wanted to. Yeah, it's a universal problem. It's always been. Whatever side of the world you're on, I've been on all of them. It is the issue. Say what you mean what you say. And guys, if you miss the cue and you get in trouble, take a couple steps back, and because I went up to the bathroom and I was like, man, why did I get yelled at just then? And I ran it back in my head and I went, oh, that's what it was, man. I'm sorry, doggone, and I missed that one. And I won't tomorrow. And the truth is, I'm always kind of paying attention now.
Yeah.
I gotta listen. Yeah. And I'm not very good. That's the problem with guys, right? Listen, guys, you're not innocent of this whole thing. I wasn't fully paying attention.
Uh-huh,
I was in autopilot.
Right.
And my wife, I think, sometimes says these things and does these things to kind of pull me out of autopilot mode. Which is very important because
you need to be engaged and present.
Do things on autopilot mode that just drive her crazy.
Uh-huh.
And like yesterday, I missed the conversation completely yesterday because I was in autopilot mode. And then when it was brought back up, I was like,
you missed a whole conversation?
I didn't hear that. And like, you were standing right there.
Oh no.
I was putting cream cheese on a bagel. I don't remember that. That's just what happens. I'm sorry. So see,
this
guys,
is good. This is good to know.
It is very important.
All right. I'm going to keep that in mind.
We don't have a normal like glaze on our eyes, but if we're focused on something and you say something, it's not fair, but it's something that guys need to work on because you should definitely be more present and it shouldn't take all of your brain power to
put cream cheese on a bagel.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm not perfect either. All right.
That's right. Okay.
I think we've gotten to the end of this for sure. Listen, I know that one of the most difficult things in the world is parenting your kids through the fighting times because they can be frustrating for you. They can be frustrating for your kids.
It's a lot of emotions rolling around in the house.
And it has to start with you as far as maintaining those emotions and being the parent who's in charge that doesn't just throw around your authority because you're the parent.
Yes.
But models and shows those kids how to, in a healthy way, come back and fix and resolve that conflict. Conflict's going to happen. Fights are going to happen. Most of the time, let's let them work through it, but make sure on the other end of it, they are resolving whatever conflict created that fight in the first place.
And I just want to touch back on something that we learned a couple podcasts ago. Teach them to say, I'm sorry, I blah, 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 that's fill in the blank. Is there anything I can do to make it up to you?
We have been
teach
working on
that. Teach them that. Model that. Tell them to say that. You know, teach them that. And I think that'll go a long way.
It goes a very long way. Yeah. And like, we've been using that in my household and family, and it makes them... The truth is, as they start to get that and they say sorry for the thing that they're specifically sorry for, they stop doing that thing.
Right.
Because they go, that's... Yeah.
I was sorry for that last time.
They're pretty smart little whippersnappers.
They learn fast. A lot faster than you think they do.
All right, Ms. Tanya, you got anything else?
I think that's it.
All right. Well, listen, we hope you guys have a great week. Thanks for joining us. If you haven't subscribed already, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast. We do this almost every week.
And we would
love to have you join us each and every week. If you ever need anything, you can shoot us an email. You can visit the website and you can find us and visit the website of m1bc.org. And you can find us and shoot us off an email, comment, something like that. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
We'll see you next time.